Welcome to another episode of the Midwest Monsters Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Grizzly Abner, and I am joined by
Professor Wagstaff,
Venomous Vinny.
Good to be with you, friends. We are doing a little bit of a round table discussion this evening. I believe this idea was born from Venomous Vinny.
So it was.
Would you like to tell us what it is and why we're here?
Basically, it's an invaders from space, a space invaders roundtable discussion. We have done one similar to this previously, but in that episode we focused more on like your little gray men, alien abduction, quotation fingers, real aliens. Whereas this one we're going a little more into the science fiction, fantasy, horror side of things, and there's a lot of it out there, so why not talk about it?
Are we going to limit this to a scope of like them coming here and like not focus as much on space horror?
That's kind of how I have.
I was thinking of it as like micro macro. Like we talk about these isolated incidents, you know, where people are kind of questioned on their sanity and what happened in their particular just story that the movie focuses on. Whereas a lot of these are going to be more grand, large scale.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, who wants to start us out?
I think with everything, I think what to set the scene is basically all of this really starts post-World War II.
Sure.
And what is commonly referred to as Atomic Age cinema. But
certainly even, the boom of it.
One of my specialties.
But more so than that, the influence on this particular, because science fiction has been around for a long time in film. I mean, you like Metropolis and things like that. The super 1920s old, you know, type of thing. But really, talking about this alien invader type of thing really starts to happen after the incident in Roswell.
1947?
Yes.
Yes.
That really starts, that incident is what really starts to kind of push us, because you start to see these things show up in movies approximately 3-4 years later. And especially for the decade of the 50s, this is everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. I think the one I would like to bring up first is 1951's The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Certainly one of the most important
iconic
for this topic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really, in many ways, is the cause for the boom that you're referencing through the decade, because I think it had such a profound effect on viewers. And something important to point out with this one is that it takes it much more serious than much of what the success of this leads to, where you're going to have a lot of camp, a lot of quick cash-ins, and just, you know, popcorn movies, and there's nothing wrong with those, but this really was more of an elevated approach to what they were trying to accomplish with it. It's very serious. It's very dramatic in some of its iconic scenes.
Yeah, iconic imagery.
And I assume you've seen it. Have you seen it?
Never have.
I watched it for the first time for this show.
Oh, cool.
Almost embarrassed to say that, but of course I was always familiar with that image of what I thought was going to be the alien creature, but is not. His robot.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
70 years later.
Yes.
And I'm going to be honest, I was a little disappointed by that when I saw that the alien is just a human. No makeup on him, no nothing. I was a little disappointed by that initially, but
It's like when Michael J. Fox plays. You're just not ready for it yet.
Yeah. So, but as a whole, I did like the movie, and I can totally see why it had the impact that it did. Has anybody seen the remake that was made a few years back with Keanu Reeves?
No.
I haven't seen that one either.
I have not.
To be honest, on paper, wasn't in a hurry.
I wasn't either because I had never seen the original. I didn't want to start with that.
Yeah.
These weren't... I was going to say they're not readily available. The reality is they're readily available if you want to pay $4 to rent them, which I did for the first one, and I just didn't feel like doing for the remake, yeah. If I'm being honest with you. So it's out there if you want to see them, and I'm sure that I eventually will watch the Keanu Reeves one to just for comparison's sake, but I didn't for this particular one. Okay. Did you guys have another one you wanted to bring up?
I was going
to
say along those lines, if we're talking about some of the early ones, War of the Worlds.
Yeah, this is the big one we need to really flesh out here.
Yeah.
And that was, what, 53?
Yes, the film was.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's been so long since I've seen it, I won't be of any help about the original film. I think the reason it triggered in my mind, not just because it's one of the earliest and most important, but I feel like it had a decent remake.
The dog sees an alien outside right now.
Yes, my dog is hunting aliens at the moment.
Yeah, War of the Worlds is... Ooh, boy. War of the Worlds is really the blueprint for all of this. It's always been kind of the catalyst for the interest in this. So this was H.G. Wells, 1897, serialized in magazines. So you think, we haven't even hit the turn of the century yet, and we're already having this topic.
Right.
And then there's the very famous radio production in 1938 with Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater. I think... If I'm being honest, I think some of the retroactive assessment of how this was consumed has been a little apocryphal. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that there was this mass outbreak of hysteria. I think that there were a number of people calling the radio station because they thought it was real, but I don't think it's quite as elevated as time has liked to paint it.
Like people running, screaming in the streets. Yeah,
but it was a big deal, and you think... His career in Hollywood bloomed not long after that. But so you have already two events before we've even put this to film where War of the Worlds has made a huge imprint in the culture. But in 1953, we adapt this for the screen, and it is fantastic. It is very colorful. It is some of the better effects of the decade. Even the sound work with the lasers that they're doing... visually, it holds up much better than a lot of what you'll revisit from that time 100%. Period. Now, you just watched this recently,
Vinny? I just rewatched it.
I thought
it
you
for
sent
the show.
Pictures or something that
I
you
did,
were watching it.
And it, I forget who had it streaming. It might have been Tubi, but I was blown away by how vibrant.
Yes. And Criterion released it, so they had restored it. Which was a big deal at the time because it was kind of a pain in the ass to see, if I remember correctly. So I bought that day one when they released it.
It's beautiful.
It looks
like,
so good.
It's incredible. And even like the special effects don't feel that dated.
No.
The alien itself is such a bizarre design, and the texture of it,
mm-hmm.
that oozy, wet look to it, just, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Everything works for this.
Yeah.
Everything works for it. And like I say, I'm not watching it and thinking, oh man, that kind of looks dated. That looks dated. Not at all. I was really just astonished at how vivid, vibrant everything was. And it really was.
I would make the argument, and maybe you guys agree, I don't know, that this is the gold standard for the era. I don't think there's anything that you can pull from this chunk of time when this really boomed in excess with the knockoffs that compete with this.
I think you're right. I think this is probably the pinnacle of the special effect and presentation.
Yeah, where presentation meets entertainment, because there's other movies that we'll cover that are just as entertaining, but they're not as good. The filmmaking in this is so good. And then they did it again in 2005, Spielberg, with Tom Cruise. And other than watching Tom Cruise throw a baseball... it's still really good, and it's better, I think, than people remember.
I have never watched it in its entirety, and I considered it for this show, But I also didn't want to get to the point where I was watching originals and then the remake, because there are a lot
to cover, sure,
of these that are remade from the 50s, especially in the 80s.
Well, this is one of the few instances where, dear listeners, I will say, watch both.
Yeah.
I remember my oldest saw it in the theater with somebody else, and he was both terrified by it and obsessed with it, and watched it over and over again. Even though it freaked him out, he watched it over and over and over.
You guys have thoughts on explaining some spoilers here for that one that I think is interesting about it? You think spoilers are okay for me to mention?
Yeah.
It's internal. They're coming up from the earth.
Yeah.
And that's terrifying.
Yeah.
Because we have this concept of everything coming in from space. Now, they've been here all along. They've decided to come up now.
Yeah.
And so also what was interesting, and I watched it during the pandemic, is what solves it. Germs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so immediately when all of the hubbub started going around with COVID and precautions and what people were doing, this is one of the first things I thought of and threw on as I watched both versions of this. Because, yeah. To me, this is the gold standard for the topic. And certainly the dating back to the oldest period with that being serialized, that I wanted to make sure we spent at least a minute on this. So.
Yeah, for sure. That's, I remember seeing it as a kid, and even then, just like knowing it was something special.
Yeah.
And my dad telling me the story about the radio broadcast. And yeah, it's the standard for sure. And yeah, and then not being upset with the remake, because, you know, they were throwing so many remakes out at that time.
Yeah.
That you had some really heavy hitters, and then the real stinker started coming in.
Well, and that was 2005, so I'm like 23 years old. I'm kind of too cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I watched it and enjoyed it okay, but I was like, Tom Cruise remake. But I went back and watched it here within the last couple of years. It's good.
Yeah.
It's kind of better than it should be for mm-hmm. what it is. So, yeah. Both are fantastic.
Yeah. The only part about the remake I didn't like was when the son says we should go fight them. Like, and he's going to go fight the aliens.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, little buddy, get back in the truck.
Jimmy on Shameless, just...
Okay. Professor, we've both thrown some out. Vinny and I, you want to throw one out?
Another one that I think of initially for this topic is Invaders from Mars.
Yes.
This is the same year as War of the Worlds, 53. And then Tobe Hooper remade it in the 80s. It leans in so much just to the classic elements of the storytelling. Like if you were coming up with a handshake of five movies for this topic, this would be right there. It's just, there's not a whole lot of very specific things to mention about it, but it just, it's fun. Mm-hmm. It really captures the topic.
And it'll come up with another movie or two here, but I think this is a time to kind of touch on this. And I think we've probably said this before in a previous episode, but you see many of these movies from the 50s get remade in the 80s. And it's the same thing with Stranger Things hitting its popularity, and a lot of people, it's just nostalgia. It's just nostalgia porn. That's always been the way it is. That's why Stand By Me and the things like that hit with your parents.
Christine.
Because it reminds them of the era they grew up in.
Yeah.
This is why Tobe Hooper remakes Invaders from Mars, because this is something that he would have seen as a child and stuck with him, so he remakes it. That is why we see these things happen. That is why when you are in Walmart now, they are playing 90s hits. And you're like, wow, they started playing good music. Well, if you remember when you were a kid in the 80s, they were playing hits from the 60s. Do you know why? Because your parents were the consumers with the money, and that's the era they grew up in. I think it's important to look at things like that
before
you get too smarmy about pandering with media.
Yeah. Is the Hooper remake of this the one with that naked space vampire lady?
No. Life Force we covered in depth already.
This remake has Lorraine Newman in it, and one of her few that I'm aware of major motion picture roles.
She's also a super fan of horror movies.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating to me. I've listened to her on podcasts. She knows her shit.
this, I honestly like this, the remake better. I did watch the remake because I had never seen the original or the remake, so I watched them both for, in preparation for this, and I actually do like the remake better. They take some different choices.
I think the build-up's better. The ending...
Yeah, it's the same old shit with the ending, and I'm not crazy about the ending at all.
But I agree.
Either one of them.
I think Cooper's abilities really showcase.
And I think the appeal for this movie, too, is especially if you saw it at a younger age, is your main as a protagonist is a child.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good point.
So,
Which is great for the Amblin era.
Yeah. So, I recommend watching both of them, honestly. If you're a sci-fi nerd... Yeah. You like this kind of thing. If you're going to watch the original, most definitely check out the second one because it's different enough from the original while staying true to it that it doesn't feel like you're just watching a shot-for-shot remake.
Nice. Okay. Someone else throw one out.
Well, this era, again, one you have to bring up with a very famous remake, The Thing from Another World.
Mm-hmm.
This one really has an enormous impact on what kind of movies are going to be made during this era.
It's an interesting kind of relation to the previous entry, too, in the sense that these movies influenced a whole generation of filmmakers. And so Hooper obviously brought that one up. Mm-hmm. But The Thing from Another World, any one of these guys you talk to in interviews, they always reference this. I mean, this really kind of opened the door for the imagination of storytelling for sci-fi, horror, presentation for it. You know, it's a Howard Hawks movie. I think it was Nibby is the director's last name that they're credited to. It's a Howard Hawks movie. And so many directors love Howard Hawks, but especially this one. That's why it shows up on TV in Halloween. That's why Carpenter ended up remaking it. And while it's not the grand scale of Earth being invaded like you have in a lot of these movies, it still taps in to the same elements of uncertainty and studying and understanding the fear of what's possible. But you're right. I mean, that it's one of the best made movies from that period.
100%. Especially for this genre in general. Because, again, there's a lot of schlock out there that is aliens, flying saucers, and all this and that. And I think we've all said it before, I think that this is John Carpenter's version may be one of the greatest remakes ever in cinematic history. And that's what's great, I think, about watching the original is because Carpenter went such a different way with his that it's fun to see, okay, this is an influence, but again,
he went back
you're not watching just a shot for shot.
Yeah.
It's a very claustrophobic movie.
I find.
A very claustrophobic movie. And somebody pointed out in one of the interviews that I was watching, there's constantly doors opening and closing throughout the entire movie.
Yeah.
And if you watch, they're dead on about it. And it's just something I never really picked up on before, but it's totally there.
It also becomes a different spin on like a Cabin in the Woods movie. You know, this isolation. If you're stuck there, there's nothing you can do about it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Also, a similar pairing with this would be The Blob, remade in the 80s also, but also has the entity arriving more in a small scale in the same way that does. Mm-hmm. But even more so with that, the just the creativeness that came with the more independent production of that, it really made a splash.
Before we elaborate more on The Blob, you know, not only did The Thing have a decent remake with John Carpenter, but that prequel that got made in the early 2000s was pretty good, too.
It's not bad.
It's way better than it's been remembered because everybody's dumbass thought of it just being another The Thing.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, it's not as good as Carpenter's. It's not Carpenter's. They're not trying to do that. It's before. Yeah. And when you watch it, it's really pretty interesting with what they line up at that location that then you'll have Kurt Russell finding. It's a pretty fun movie, right?
I do. I love that aspect of it. I think what hurts that movie is the lack of practical effects.
Sure.
Because Carpenter's was such a showcase.
Right.
To then be CGI for this one, I think really hurt it. If somebody would have done that with practical effects, I think it would have been remembered totally differently. But I still don't think it's a bad prequel.
Yeah.
And I love John Carpenter's The Thing.
Yeah. Someone loaned it to me. Actually, they gave it to me. And they were like, here, borrow this. You know what? Just keep it. And I was like, okay. and I was not expecting much. And I
was this pleasant. A friend or a stranger?
Yes. I'll tell you that story off mic. I was
juicy.
I was pleasantly surprised. Should we go into the blob?
Yeah, sure.
Since you brought it up.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where I wasn't going to spend a lot of time on it, but because it's not the traditional sense of what we're covering.
Yeah, it's not necessarily the invaders.
It's still an interesting spinoff from that era where there were so many movies being made on this topic, and that this one was really different. And you get a young Steve McQueen before he's Steve McQueen.
Yeah.
But
fucking 37 years old playing a high schooler.
Yeah, have that. But yeah, I mean, there's some really interesting special effects. It's the movies maintained a legacy there. I think it's in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania, at the theater where they filmed it.
I really want to go for that Blob Fest or something one of these days. I really do.
But yeah, this is it's an interesting spinoff, but very similar to The Thing, where yes, it's a force coming in externally that we don't understand, and it's scary, and it's a showcase for special effects. And it kind of plays in the paranoia elements of it, but it's still very different in its own right. But yeah, it's an interesting detour for that era. Because honestly, I've got a list here from the 50s that's maybe, I don't know, 10 movies that I jotted down of note, but you could go on and on and on. It is staggering amount of movies
to categorize.
So the first time I watched the original Blob was for the show when we covered it, and I was not optimistic because I love the remake so much from just the nostalgia from seeing it as a kid and everything. And that original film is great.
Yeah.
I mean, so like, don't think that just because you love the bonkers 80s remake that you can't appreciate the original, because I loved it.
Yeah. That's still fun.
Yeah.
And good is timeless. Even if you're limited by effects at that time or budgets, if it's good, it's good.
Yeah.
And it still is. The Blob is very entertaining, and I can only imagine what that would have been like to be like 7 years old when that came out.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? It's just a blast.
And I think having the creature be just a gelatinous blob was a really genius thing to do back then, because that's a fairly cheap effect to pull off.
It's a cheap effect, and it also taps into people's imagination because it gets you to reshape your idea of the concept that we're cashing in on.
Mm-hmm.
And then with that remake, then they take it step further, because I hadn't seen the remake until probably 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
And, man, seeing the dissolved bodies, like, oh, my God. I avoided it for years because I'm a snob about seeing remakes.
Yeah, I would put the Blob remake in top 5 special effects of all time.
I think if you could digitally remove Old Boy's mullet, it would be flawless.
Yes. That's fair.
Is that Kevin Dillon?
Yes.
Yeah, Matt Dillon's brother?
Yep.
You leave him alone.
Yeah, when he wrecks that bike at the beginning and his hair wiggles, and it's just like, what are we in for here?
He's so good in Entourage.
Yes. Yes, he is. Was it Johnny Drama?
Yeah.
In years.
Yeah. Okay, the blob. Let's see. Let's break this up a little bit here, and let's talk about a little film called Night of the Creeps.
Moving into the modern era. Absolutely. It's so much fun. And we've covered it before with obviously the love of Tom Atkins and Thrill Me.
Yeah.
But
this is where Thrill Me comes from.
Yeah, it takes some of these classic elements and kind of injects them into that 80s teen / fraternity,
because they take the tropes of a 50s sci-fi movie,
right?
And then they
open it like
yes. I think that's really part of the genius of it, is that they took what made a good 50s sci-fi alien movie and made it in the 80s, but maintained the identity of both eras.
Sure.
Yeah. So Night of the Creeps is just a blast. Vinny, have you seen Night of the Creeps?
I've seen it once, and it's been so long ago, I don't feel like I should comment on
it. Was one of those movies, too, where if you ever have the opportunity when they do a reunion at a convention, go.
Yeah.
And go to, like, the Q&A. It'll make you love the movie even more. Like, they have so much fun together now.
Oh, yeah.
That movie's just carried on a whole new life from its convention circuit. It's an absolute blast. And the movie is, I mean, even with that aside, it's a fun movie.
Yeah.
It's well done. It's got some fun effects. It's just entertaining. It's
clever. Yeah. Yeah. The good news is your dates are here. The bad news is they're dead.
Yes.
All right. All right. I was just trying to break up the classics.
I'll break it up even more here, just real quick. I with roundtable topics, I always want to make sure that we talk about just the topic in general. And what I mean by that is, what do you think makes these movies good? For me, it's the learning stage, the first act of the movie, when things are weird and we watch society respond. Mm-hmm. In particular, War of the Worlds remake has a great segment there in New York City where you're watching New Yorkers deal with it because they think it's just this weird storm coming in. I love the preparation, and I think that's even been elevated since the pandemic because, and not to go back to that and keep harping on it, but it kind of relates in some ways to some of the first acts of these movies because I can remember driving to work and the highways in my commute that are normally jam-packed had nobody. And it was just essential workers for this period of time. And it was wonderful because I could go 90 miles an hour and nobody gave a shit. And there was nobody in my way. And it was eerie there for the first couple of weeks. But I wanted to point out with this topic, what I think makes them so fun is kind of the grander scale of how society deals with it. A movie like, and I'm sure we'll mention it, Independence Day. The fun of that movie is the buildup.
Yeah.
It's watching the different communities and cities respond.
Yeah.
Thoughts on what makes these movies fun?
Absolutely. By the way, you don't have to wear a mask in here if you don't want to. I know you're hung up on the pandemic. But, yeah, I think that is it, in that just the mystery, which is weird. And that's, we talk about how themes in horror are cyclical and how they come in at different times. And, you know, we talk about zombie movies come in really when people are very pessimistic about current affairs and things like that. And so it's interesting. I wonder what it would take to get another cycle of Space Invader movies, because even right now, I mean, the government is being kind of transparent about these, we call them UAPs now, mm-hmm. unidentified aerial phenomena. And it's like, are people scared of aliens coming anymore? Or have we just seen enough that we don't even, we're just so turned off by each other that if aliens showed up, we're like, that's yeah. fine.
It's like my phone woke me up this past week for a tornado warning, which never happens. Mm-hmm. I mean, I sat straight up. I was like, why is it still dark with my alarm going off? It's like, oh, it's a tornado. Then I went, meh, I'm going back to bed.
I got a lot going on right
I'm
now.
Kind of bored with it and I'm tired. Yeah. It's just, yeah, just kind of complacency.
Well, I can tell you that my wife, this is subject matter that terrifies her.
Yeah.
She, whenever the news has started talking about this UAP stuff, she doesn't want to hear any of it. She does not like abduction-style movies, any of that kind of thing. That aliens, the thought of aliens coming from somewhere else absolutely terrifies her. Mm. Terrifies her.
Is it just because, more than anything, she believes in that?
I don't even know that it's that. I think it's because of it being otherworldly and
sure.
not human.
Well, and I'm not trying to put her angle on trial here, because to me, just personally, I think it's wildly arrogant to believe that we're it.
Sure, yeah, sure.
So, you know,
I think it's intimidating. I think it, because it's not human, and obviously, as Nick Fury said in the Avengers movie, we're hilariously outgunned.
Well, that's the thing. My dad, when I was a kid, I was always talking about how excited I'd be if aliens were real or they showed up, and my dad was like, "You don't look forward to that."
He's like, this ain't going to be Alf, boy.
Yeah, right. He's like, they show up, they want something, and we're not going to be able to stop them. We're hilariously outgunned, right?
I think that for me, what the appeal is for this stuff is being a sci-fi kid growing up, it's both that cosmic optimism, where you think they're more advanced than we are, that Star Trek end of things, where they're more advanced, they're clearly here to share ideas with us and things like that. There's that end of it. But then on the other hand, for as sci-fi as a whole does, this is a good way to use aliens in place of the other that you may be, society may be having the conflict right now. For instance, in the 50s, that would have been a Cold War thing. Mm-hmm. So these aliens really were substituted in for the Russians. Mm-hmm. And but it's more palatable and less likely to panic people, or it's an easy way to get your subtext in and make a political statement without it being so overt to the powers that be as well.
Right.
And I think that that is really where science fiction shines the most.
And yeah, will remain timeless because of that. Yeah.
And let's be honest, it's just a hell of a showcase for special effects.
Oh, sure.
100%. This
whole topic is, yes. Yeah, it'll stick around because of that as well. Yeah. It's interesting. One last thought I wanted to say when we were talking about being hilariously outgunned, et cetera, et cetera. I've obviously listened to a lot of podcasts on UAPs, et cetera. And someone said, this guy who's like an astrophysicist was like, hey, if you are trying to gather how many planets are out there, just know that it's a number with 23 zeros behind it. So to think that we're alone...
Right. Yeah, ridiculous.
A number. There is a guy in a junkie spaceship with a furry creature next to him right now. Yeah.
We haven't even explored our own ocean.
Right.
We don't even know the planet we're on fully.
And now the biggest point that was made on one recently that I really thought was interesting is...
Why are you putting on your collar?
No, actually, what's the organization called? Anyways, I can't remember. And the other interesting thing, too, is that one reason against why these in anything that we're seeing maybe from space, that actually we might be dealing with interdimensional mm-hmm. beings. That's when I get really nerdy, if you want to hear more about that.
Yeah. That actually freaks me out more.
Yes, that freaks me out yeah. more. But the idea is that we are so far away from anywhere where intelligent life could be that we'll never know. It would be as they develop the technology to get to us.
Yeah.
So, nerd alert, that's me right now talking about, one of my students asked me, like, do you believe in aliens? I was like, well, intergalactic, interdimensional, or interterrestrial? They're like, I don't want to have this conversation. So anyways, back to the movies. Thank you for the engaging question, Professor.
Certainly.
You want to throw one out?
Simon Pegg. 2.
Yeah.
The World's End and Attack the Block.
Yeah.
For a moment, I thought, I was like, is it? My mind said Simon Birch.
Me too!
And I was like, what?
That, we both just...
a couple of fucking aliens sitting here with me.
We're idiots.
They're listening to us and controlling our minds right now.
Oh man, I worked at the movie theater when that came out. What a... Whew. Yeah, we'll just move on from that. Yeah, just a couple of different lighthearted angles on that. We've covered Attack the Block on the show before. The World's End with the trilogy from Edgar Wright.
Coronado Trilogy.
Yeah, the Coronado Trilogy. And they're both just kind of a different approach to the subject.
100%. Again, Attack the Block blew my mind.
Yeah.
Attack the Block is, I like World's End, so right. I want to be on record saying that, but Attack the Block is a phenomenal movie.
Yeah, it is.
They're worth talking about together, but one is kind of...
Sure. Yeah, it's not the American bravado. There's more of, the British humor to it. One's a much more small town setting with the World's End, and then Attack the Block's much more urban, but really fun approaches to the topic, and very different from the classic sense that we know. There's a great scene in the World's End where we first discover it in the bathroom
yeah.
that just turns into this whole choreographed battle scene, and just a couple of really fun versions that I want to make sure I mentioned. I love both of them.
Yeah, they're both a blast.
Attack the Block is one of those, like, no, that's probably how we would react to him. We'd fucking kill it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The minute we saw it, we'd fucking kill it.
Yep.
Yep.
And they look cool.
Yeah, yeah.
They are cool. And it was a risk, I think, to make the creatures look like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to require some CG. It's going to require... It's just not a traditional alien in your yeah. brain. And so that was a big risk, and it paid off.
Yeah. Definitely.
One that I'm pissed that we never got a sequel for, and I'm not usually an advocate for sequels for no reason, but District 9.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought of that.
District 9 was such a different
clever
approach to the subject.
Was that Peter Jackson?
No. That was, golly, I just,
I was gonna say, if only we had computers that we could hold in our hands.
Yeah.
We could instantaneously find out. It's just, we basically, they came and we treated them like we do migrants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We put them in fucking camps and reservations, however you want to look at it. And then, if anybody's seen it, then you've got the guy who gets infected and starts to turn into one of them.
Yeah.
And the fucking visuals are great in that movie. The aliens are of...
I remember it looking really good.
Completely different design than what you're used to. Great social commentary, which is where sci-fi excels.
Back to your point earlier, absolutely. I mean, this is the director wanting to tell a story.
Yes.
But guising it under this... extraterrestrials.
Yeah, it's about suppressing the other, but then you start to become the other.
Yeah. Neil Blomkamp.
But District 9 is a fucking great movie. If people have not seen District 9, that I would not categorize it probably. It's horror adjacent.
Sure.
This is more of a sci-fi film than it's a horror film, But I'm going to be honest about this show, and I don't know if listeners agree with us or not. Revolt against us on social media if you want. But I kind of feel like under the umbrella of being Midwest monsters, that we kind of get some leeway with sci-fi as well in these respects.
Sure.
But District 9, it's not one I watch all the time. It is kind of heavy. But man, is it good.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Hey... let's talk about a fun one. I don't remember if we've even covered this on the show. Signs.
Yes, I've got that jotted down.
I think we have mentioned it maybe on the Little Green Men episode that we did. Because I know we have definitely, maybe even were scariest moments or something we've discussed.
I think that definitely came up there. That affected a whole generation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it's so simple.
I mean, it's the quality of the Patterson-Gimlin Bigfoot footage, but a third of the frames.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it 2 seconds of video?
Yes. And it's presented perfectly for its time on network news, you know, the cable news circuit. It's presented there, and we've already got uncertainty starting to swirl around.
Yep.
Society.
And the brilliance of that also is it's shown on the network news, which your characters are watching on TV, also recorded on VHS camcorder.
Yeah.
Right.
So that quality is degraded, and it works perfectly. And I remember reacting exactly the same way that the characters in the movie reacted when you see that thing pass through.
Because they give you just long enough to go, oh, God.
And your brain does the rest.
Yep.
Yep. Phenomenal. And the crop circle stuff is done so well in it. It's a great movie. And there was a period where I thought I fell out of love with it just because of the whole premise of water kills them. But then I got over myself, and every time I watched it, I'm like, nope, this still holds up.
Look, that water thing, and I remember when there was that big... It's like when people got too cool for Christopher Nolan's Batman movies.
Yeah, right. People got hung up on the twist endings and... It's like, man,
but the core of the movie, this isn't any different than the Germs with War of the Worlds.
Right. So right. Because, people are like, well...
We're just cynical.
You know, the Earth is 75% water, so why would they come here? Well, there's fucking germs everywhere, too. So,
yeah.
All right. Okay. Professor.
One I would like to mention is Village of the Damned. Another kind of different spin on it. Notably, growing up, one of the few movies that kind of... kept my interest and concern because it was the one my dad referenced being terrified of as a kid. Also, I met Martin Stevens, who is one of the main children in the movie. And when I met him, I showed him a text that my dad had sent that he was thinking of a brick wall like George Sanders does in the movie to try and abstain from their powers, which Stevens thought was absolutely wonderful. But it still holds up with their glowing eyes. Yeah. It's an interesting approach to the movie. Carpenter remade it with Christopher Reeves and Kirstie Alley. Where this idea that a whole community basically gets knocked out And then when they wake up, a whole bunch of people are pregnant. Now, you could make some French jokes like they do in Stand By Me about your trash can being empty. But, no, it still holds up. It's really pretty creepy, pretty entertaining, and an interesting concept of more of a different infiltration where you look up and all of the children in your community are powerful and dangerous. And it's come from aliens.
I've never seen the original or the remake.
Wow. I quit the podcast. We'll have to change that at some point.
Yeah. Is it on me? I think we. I don't want to go past the subject without bringing up Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Right.
Definitely.
And, I kind of felt like that was.
And I'm talking. I can't speak for. There's one. Is there one that has Nicole Kidman in it as well? Just called Body Snatchers or something.
There's one for the '90s. Yeah.
Okay. I haven't seen that one. Yeah. But the one with. Donald Sutherland.
Which we covered that.
And the original.
Which made a huge splash.
Those two are equally good. And
fantastic, yeah.
Man, incredible. And also I get a kick out of the one with Donald Sutherland because I get to see Leonard Nimoy be somebody other than Mr.
Yeah.
Spock.
Yeah, he's got a great role in that one.
And yeah. Those movies, just the impact, especially the original had. And that end scene in the remake. Mm. Is one of the most memorable things in horror cinema.
Yeah.
So I those have to be brought up.
For sure. Glad you did. They're excellent movies, and they really lean more into the paranoia and kind of the communal reaction more so than the traditional invasion movie. Mm-hmm. It just kind of comes in the back door quietly, and you can't really tell when it's happening, and that's a pretty scary idea. Obviously, there's a lot of overtones and overlap with communism and what was going on in the 50s there that really lean heavily into the original, but every version's been good. The one from the 90s, I think Abel Ferreira did that one. It's good, too, which okay. I was going to try and sneak in covering each version
because like I picked did. The 70s like I did one. The I Am Legend.
And yeah. We haven't gotten there yet. Spoiler alert.
We'll Last see. Man on Earth. Yeah. You know, here's one that is, I think is very present in the front of everyone's mind when they are afraid of what the aliens might look like when they get here, and that's Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Yes. That's on my list. Shout out to the McRib because I know he loves that one.
It's so good. It's so,
so much fun.
It's silly. It's fun. The Chiodo brothers and their work with the makeup and
the effects. Oh, it's a showcase for so much just awesome effects stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's killer. It's crazy. So
yeah. I think bonkers is a term you can label this one with easily.
Absolutely.
And this is one that I think can cross genres too. For instance, Svengoolie, who is mostly known for playing like Universal classics, at least in the last decade or so with MeTV, has shown this one in the last year or so. And I think that bridges it bridges people who are those old fans, mm-hmm. and then it gets into that 80s style. Like, yeah it's such a fun movie.
The colors, everything. Yeah.
It's a blast.
Yeah. Professor?
Well, obviously, I want to mention it at least. We've covered it plenty, but They Live.
Yeah, I had that on the list.
It really leans heavily into so many of the elements of what make these movies fun. I won't spend too much time on it because we gave that a Monsterpiece Theater episode. Yep. So it got a pretty good treatment on that. In the same era, though, one that I would like to also mention is The Hidden, which I think is starting to develop a little bit more of a following here now, retroactively decades later with Kyle MacLachlan. And you basically got it. You could almost treat it like an infection movie rolling through Los Angeles, but you also pair it with traditional kind of detective storytelling structure. Have you guys seen that one, Vinny?
What's that one?
The Hidden?
No.
Okay. Well, dear listeners, check out The Hidden.
I have not.
I feel like it's starting to pick up a little bit of a following, though. Not as well known, but certainly around the same time as They Live. And a really good midnight movie.
I still think that if you give it to the right person, I think They Live is ripe for a remake.
Yeah.
If you can give it to somebody who can give it depth and that it deserves, I really think that with our current social and political climate, that you could remake that movie and make it its own thing again, and it'd be just as good.
It could work. Yeah.
I watched one that I had never seen before for this called The Deadly Spawn. Have you guys seen that one from 1983?
I know that name. I can't remember. What? Let's say I haven't seen it.
Came up on Tubi.
Does John Leguizamo play a evil clown in that one?
Yes. No.
How do you respond?
It is not a great movie, but the creature design, I'm not even going to try to explain it to you, is cool to see. And there's some cool gore effects and practical effects in it. So while I don't necessarily recommend you take an entire Saturday night to sit down and watch it, if you're sitting down and you're on your phone and you want something in the background, throw that one on.
Okay. Okay. Let's talk about a movie that just kicks ass, and then the sequels, you could work with, but Predator.
Oh, yeah.
He's from space, you know.
He is from space.
But we are invading him.
So in the original, right, you've got just the Predator, and then in part two, you got a Predator. But then we get these sequels where there's multiple Predators, right? Because they are the apex Predator in the universe.
I'd like to point out that in the first one, Schwarzenegger can't really beat the Predator, but fucking Murtaugh can in the sequel.
Anyway, yeah. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah. And Murtaugh calls him Pussy Mouth or Pussy Face.
Oh, boy. Those sequels. It's going to be an interesting franchise when we cover that.
I honestly can't wait for the franchise, which we'll probably have to break into two episodes.
Yeah. But one of the Predators sequels is pretty good. But that new one they made called Prey.
Oh, man.
Is phenomenal.
It is really
good. I haven't seen that one yet.
Are you shitting me?
Oh, my gosh.
You're off the show. Fuck.
Motherfucker, you guys just told me like you haven't seen any of the ones I brought up. Get off me. Okay, I'm so sorry. Somebody pick it soon.
Yeah, so do you know the premise of Prey?
No.
So what opens
we got to pray just to make it today.
That's right.
Pray.
Lord help me. The premise is, and why I think it opens up a unique opportunity for the future of the franchise, is that it's the Predator story, but in a different time period. So it's like Predator shows up where there's like a Native American tribe living. And so they obviously don't have the technology that the people in the modern Predator movies have. And so it's really unique.
So it's like Back to the Future 3?
Yeah. Okay. Very cool. He eats that pie and he throws it like a frisbee.
Oh, man.
By the way, I love Back to the Future 3. Come at me.
Still friends with you.
Yes, but Prey is phenomenal. So just Predator. I mean, it's just an amazing concept for a creature. The original looks good. It's just neat.
And watching the original recently, it doesn't look dated.
No, it holds up.
Everything holds up.
It still looks
the really action, good. The storyline, the effects. I mean, the original Predator holds up.
Yep. Yeah. It's where you look over and I've got the one blade razor just going across my God. Cheek.
Man,
yeah.
Isn't that the worst?
All right.
Mud wouldn't help body heat, by the way. But I still like it.
Yeah.
What do we got? We mentioned most of the ones I've got jotted down.
Yeah, we're getting thin.
We can, I'll really start hammering through them here.
Yeah, Critters, I want to make sure I mention just because it's a fun incantation list of this, so I got to make sure I throw that on there.
Love Critters.
One that I didn't get to watch that some other documentary style stuff that I watched on the subject kept bringing up is The Man from Planet X.
Mm.
Which the creature design is really weird.
Is that a prequel to American History X?
Yes. But
got me fucked up.
Oh man! But that's an early atomic age cinema type of deal. It's really about one spaceman coming and humans being assholes. And him exacting revenge because of it. But I've not seen it. I've seen clips of it, and it's just interesting enough that I definitely want to find it, but it's not been easy to come by so far.
Okay. A film that sparked a franchise, Cloverfield.
Ooh.
I hadn't even jotted that down. Good mention.
That
ended up being interesting how it played out.
It did. The first one's better than it should be.
Sure.
I've probably only ever seen the first one.
It's one of the only movies to ever give me problems with the handheld camera, which I know some people have, which normally is an issue. You what?
Blair Witch Project?
Yeah. It did it. That was an issue for me with that first one, but it was still really cool.
It was an interesting take to be both found footage, but also a huge production.
Yeah.
Because typically found footage is used to hide
it's a crutch.
Your budget, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have enough money, let's make it found footage. But this had millions behind it and was a found footage movie.
Yeah. Is John Goodman involved in that film?
He's in
10 Cloverfield Lane,
okay,
which is a sequel about them being in an underground bunker because of this alien
invasion. And then we have the space one.
And I haven't seen that one.
Okay.
The Cloverfield Paradox?
I think so.
And then there was Cloverfield in the Hood.
There are people driving right now screaming at the speakers.
So yeah, Cloverfield, better than it should have been.
Yeah, it's cool too because J.J. Abrams didn't fuck up the ending. He actually let people have a good time.
All right. You guys got any? I've got a few to run through here.
I'll let you kind of run through them. One, I want to make sure I at least mention without going into it because it's been a number of years since I've seen it, but I remember it being pretty cool, was Not of This Earth by Corman from 1957. Cool stuff with the eyes, which always freaked me out, like Tor Johnson. Even in Plan 9, that movie's not good, but he's still scary to me with the eyes whited out. There's a lot of that with Not of This Earth, if I'm remembering correctly, but... Yeah, beyond that, we've hit most of the high points I had jotted down.
Yeah, same here.
Okay. Well, let me take the lead here.
Strap in. Grizz is going to list off 80 movies.
Oh, man. one that I love from Robert Rodriguez is The Faculty.
Ooh, we need to cover that on here.
Have you ever seen The Faculty, Vinny?
If I have, it's been a long time.
It's so good.
It's from your blank era, like where you would have mainly ignored it from like 95 to 05.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, it was probably like 98 or 99.
It probably looked like everything else that was made on the cover art during that era, and I probably skipped it.
Yeah. Josh Hartnett, Robert Patrick.
It sounds like I skipped it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But it's a great one. It's a lot of fun.
Great cast.
Yeah, absolutely. Tim Burton, Mars Attacks.
Oh yeah. That's I wanted to watch that for the revisit, but nobody had it streaming on any of my services. So now I guess I'm gonna have to look for it on Blu-ray so I can have it whenever I want it.
Yeah.
That's just such a fun homage to that whole genre.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, good Tim Burton movie. Anything you want to say about that Tim Burton movie?
I have seen this one.
Epic bed shitting.
all love.
Going back to The Faculty real quick, it's kids in high school and aliens are taking over through the teachers. Mm. And so it's an interesting concept there. Another one that sparked a franchise, Species. Natasha Henstridge.
More than a Species.
I didn't see it at the time. And I hadn't watched it till someone gave us a copy of it, and I just thought, okay, it's just an excuse to watch her run around naked the whole time. But
that's what I always assumed that movie was.
It's actually good.
Yeah, it's actually
a pretty good movie. I can't speak to the sequels, and 2 and 3 are sitting at Dave's Video right now, and I can't bring myself to buy them.
They're $1.
Yeah.
Pretty sure those sequels are out of print and really expensive online, so you might want to.
I'm heading to Dave's right now.
Guys, we'll air this later. You
guys, there's a hole in the shape of Grizz's silhouette through the wall right now on his way over.
Waiting for the acme to pop up there.
A movie that I did not enjoy, and I don't care what anyone says, is Bad Taste. Peter Jackson.
Yeah, I don't. Have I watched that?
I hope not.
Is that the one where the guy's got, it's like the creature in the sunglasses with a big fat middle finger on it? I have seen
every bootleg table showcases it.
Oh god, yeah, so I've seen it.
what did he ever do, Peter Jackson?
Yeah, right, him. Exactly. One from the early 2000s that is really good and has a lot of some of the same vibes as Night of the Creeps is a film called Slither.
Mm.
It got the Scream Factory treatment, so Slither is a pretty enjoyable film. Michael Rooker is a lot of fun in that.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, they call me Mary Poppins, y'all. Bloodsuckers from Outer Space.
Terrible. Fucking terrible.
It's one that I would categorize as so bad it's good. No, I'll put it this way. So bad it's entertaining. So, Bloodsuckers.
Vinegar Syndrome showcase there.
Yeah, yeah. Bloodsuckers from Outer Space. A recent one from Jordan Peele. Nope.
I have not seen that yet.
You're going home with it tonight.
Yeah, I've not seen it yet.
I love that one.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's got to be streaming someplace, right?
Maybe.
Nope.
Look. Nope.
Vinny, there's even a chimp storyline.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, God damn.
Fix this.
Yes. Make, if it's not streaming, you're taking my copy home with you. I love Nope. I might like it better than Get Out.
Looks like I can watch it on Peacock.
You know what? Maybe I'm wrong. But
no, that's all right. I appreciate the passion.
I do like it better than Us.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, fuck you. What's wrong with Us?
Nothing. Okay, moving right along here. Boy, a movie that has not aged well and a trilogy that has not aged well at all is Feast.
No. Yeah, I wasn't real enthusiastic when we covered it, to be perfectly honest. But
I really did enjoy the first one, and I thought the second one was still pretty fun, and the third one was awful. And now I don't really have the desire to watch any of them, and when I see them on my shelf, I think, why are they still here?
Yeah, the one thing I remember enjoying was the kind of like title cards for the person, where it would list the details.
The first one at least had some clever things about it.
Yeah.
It's not clever after the
first one. It's aged a little bit, if I'm remembering correctly, a little bit more on the bro side. And I'm not trying to virtue signal here, but it's just, it wasn't very good.
Scummy for scummy's sake.
Yeah.
The stuff, I mean, it's essentially like an alien life form.
Yeah.
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 Didn't think about that. That's a good one.
That's a good one.
I want to mention is Strange Invaders from 1983 with a massive cast, and it's just not remembered.
Huh.
I mean, it was fairly obscure before they even left the decade. Is that with
Bob and Doug McKenzie?
This has got all kinds of people. I just remember Nancy Allen being one of the main ones in it. But yeah, if you look through the cast, you'd be like, I don't want to rattle off all the names because people aren't going to remember most of them. But when you see their faces, it's like, holy shit, this thing's just chocked full. But it's that classic invasion type movie.
Okay.
In the 80s.
Okay.
It's a good time.
Gotcha. You mentioned it, but it's worth really mentioning because it's one of the greatest movies of the 90s, in my opinion, Independence Day. More sci-fi than horror, but I mean...
We have to mention it.
That buildup.
It's one of the pinnacles for this topic in terms of success and really permeating the culture. I mean, everybody was into this.
It was a blockbuster.
I can remember friends going out to Danbury Theaters because we'd had the second theater open up in our hometown of Richmond there. And I can remember them throwing out posters.
Yeah, I was at the premiere. I got one of the posters. They had people in costume there doing just different space cosplay type stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everything, even time, Will Smith, all the things that have stacked against it, it's still really entertaining.
See, I've only ever seen it once and I didn't like it. And the reason I didn't like it is because
blew my mind.
I do not like Will Smith.
See, I figured you would love this movie.
No.
That it's bringing the topic and the style
and
that you
and
like
I'll be
to
100% honest with you. I have not seen it since it came out.
Watch it again.
And that's when I saw it. And I was, what year was that? I was probably in my early 20s.
It was like 96 maybe?
Yeah, I was like 18 or 19 years old.
Yeah.
And I was not having Will Smith.
Yeah.
And I've just never went back and watched
it. In fairness to you, before the Oscars slap,
you
didn't like Will Smith.
No. And that's why when I do like him in something like I Am Legend, it's a huge surprise.
Yeah.
But so I've never been a mark for that movie, like you say, which is a surprise because you would think that it would hit for me.
Yeah, it leans so heavily on what you enjoy.
I need to watch it again.
It's fun.
With eyes now.
I personally think of Jeff Goldblum and his dad in the movie, Judd Hirsch, and their role in the story. Will Smith, I get it. He's a big part of it. But I think of Goldblum, and then I think of Quaid.
Every time I hear the title of this movie, all I hear in my brain is Welcome to Earth. And that punching a fucking alien with an X, I just can't get over that.
I can't refute.
Welcome to Earth.
Here. That's fair.
Vinny, Data's in it.
You get Brent Spiner in it. But Welcome to Earth, just the same. You know what I mean?
Well, you like what you like. Just wrapping up a few here.
How was the sequel, by the way? Did you guys watch that?
Did not watch it. Yeah. I was too busy being alive.
I heard it's hot doo-doo.
Yeah, that's what I've heard as well. Battle Los Angeles. Did anyone see that one?
I saw it when it was new, but not since. Don't remember much.
It was one that I think I got cheap on Blu-ray somewhere and was... pleasantly surprised at how good of a blend of like sci-fi and action and a little horror
yeah.
of the elements. But I mean, it's like this unit that's space invaders have crashed in LA and they're fighting and turning the tide on this. It's wild. I mean, it's better than it should have been, I think.
Cool. Are we going to talk about the similarities to zombies and each season of The Walking Dead?
I'm glad you brought that up. Let's go ahead and start that.
Right? if Daryl dies, we riot.
I couldn't remember. Are they aliens in Night of the Comet, or does the comet make everyone turn into zombies? Or a lot of people turn into zombies?
I always think of it as kind of just a hybrid. Okay. I don't think of it as one or the other. They never focus too much on it. I guess I think of it more of a zombie movie. But yeah, you're right. It's a little of both, really.
Yeah.
Interesting. I had never thought about that.
Huh. Look who actually did research for an episode for once. This guy.
Something I would like, I think.
You seen Beetlejuice?
Something I think needs brought up is the television show V, the original version.
Oh, yeah.
Which was, for its time, a miniseries that made an enormous impact. I just recently rewatched the entire series, which, I'll be honest with you guys, not as good as my under 10-year-old self remembered it being when I watched it as a kid.
That's all right. It still made its
impact. But Robert Englund, before he was Freddy Krueger, was Willie from V. And it had a very interesting approach where the visitors come and they're offering medicine and technology to us. But in reality, their planet, they've depleted their planet of its resources and are taking it from ours. And they are disguised in human flesh, but are actually these reptilian, cold-blooded creatures underneath. And you get your whole resistance movement.
Oh, this is a documentary.
Yeah, yeah. But V, for its time, I remember a friend of mine had a lunchbox of it. Oh, I remember playing it at recess. It was so cool. It had that horror element where they would peel the visitor's piece of their face off, and there's that green scaly flesh underneath it. And there's the famous thing that scared me and a generation of kids when the twins were born that the human had with a visitor. And the first twin comes out, and it's looks like a visitor. And I remember it scaring the ever-living fuck out of me as a kid. And then seeing it as an adult, and it is very clearly a bad rubber puppet, and being ashamed of myself.
That's all right. It did what it needed to do.
It did. And, you know, you forget that in those times, you couldn't rewind it and rewatch it. You couldn't freeze frame it. It was you got that quick look, and then your brain did the rest of it. But I have to bring up V.
Nice. Last one. I've seen the first one, but I haven't seen the sequel, but A Quiet Place.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed those.
Yeah. I haven't seen the sequel. It's been in a queue of mine forever, and I've just never gotten around to watching it. But yeah, I really did enjoy that first one.
Yeah, it was good. Okay.
Good call.
That's it.
Yeah, man.
Space Invaders. We got a lot more out of this ride than we thought we would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I haven't even listed off every movie from the 50s. Strap in.
All right, let's go. I didn't want to bring it up, but you talked about TV shows, and it made me think of a great show that was based off of a great movie, which was Alien Nation.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which was, I mean, that movie still holds up. I don't know about the show. I don't know if there's anywhere
where you can watch it. And that was more commentary of how we treat the other.
Yeah, absolutely. So, the first one, I mean, the movie itself, it wasn't horror, but it still had, I mean, there was this fear, driven in it. So, anywho. Well, look at us. Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? Midwest Monsters Podcast, talking about Space Invaders. I've been one of your hosts. My name is Grizzly Abner, and I have been joined by
Professor Wagstaff.
Venomous, the Visitor Vinny.
Oh, I'm scared now. Stay scary, friends.